Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him, and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said to him, Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "Teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated, "a stone." The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our
Lesson 69, The Divine Son. Today we begin a new study in the Gospel of John. John will reveal to us Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. John makes it abundantly clear that Jesus is God and was manifested to us as a man. He will use a series of miraculous signs to authenticate the claim of Jesus being divine. Written with a different focus than the other Gospels, almost half of John's Gospel is written about the details surrounding the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first chapter of this book is a revelation to us of who Jesus is. We do not get a genealogy as with Matthew or Luke, but are immediately confronted with the truth of his deity. There is hardly a clearer statement in all of Scripture concerning the true identity of Jesus being divine. There are many cults trying to make Jesus to be less than God, but John's Gospel refutes them all and boldly declares that Jesus is God. John uses several ways to describe the deity and glory of Jesus. He writes of him as the Word, meaning the full expression of the mind of God for all humanity. He declares him to be God. He also tells us that he was the creator of all that has been created. This confirms what he is saying, for none other than God can be accredited with the power and work of creation. He then speaks of Jesus being light. This means that Jesus is the means by which we can know God, just as light is the means by which we can know and understand the objects around us. Jesus is light in the sense of giving us knowledge and understanding, and he does this through his creation, through the conscience of man, and also through the writings of Scripture and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. John introduces us to another John whom we know as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent to bear witness to Jesus being the true light that came into the world. However, the people of Israel rejected the light as they did not recognize Jesus as their Messiah. But we are told that many others did receive him. That is, they believed the revelation about Jesus as being God's Son and chose to follow him in faith. These were received by God as his own children and were regenerated by God's power and not the will of man. To become a child of God, we must receive Jesus by faith. The new birth is accomplished by God's will and God's power. All we must do is believe what God has revealed to us concerning his Son. John testifies that the apostles had seen God's glory in Jesus, and that through him we have been given grace and truth. In the Old Testament period, the Jews had been given the law, which revealed God's truth, but had not given God's full plan of grace and redemption. When Jesus came into the world, the revelation of God's plan to save men by grace was made more fully known. John the Baptist was a great man and prophet, and some wondered whether he might be the Messiah that Israel had been waiting for. When asked about his identity, John replied that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He said the one that would come after him was much greater than he, and that he was not worthy to even untie his shoes. He then pointed others to see Jesus as God's sacrificial lamb. John shows us his humility when he draws attention away from himself and points others to look to Jesus and follow him. When two of his disciples heard John's testimony about Jesus, they left John to follow Jesus. This shows us the marks of a true servant of God who will turn attention away from himself to help others know and follow Jesus as Lord. Not only is the Apostle John trying to direct our eyes and hearts toward Jesus, but John the Baptist is recorded as doing so also. All of God's record in the Bible is designed to draw us to know and follow Jesus. When men exalt themselves or draw attention to man's glory, they have missed out on God's purpose through the revelation of Christ in the Scriptures. Near the end of this chapter, we find Jesus calling several people to be his followers. There was two of John's disciples, one of them being Andrew, a brother of Simon. Andrew tells Simon about Jesus, and he too becomes a follower of the Messiah. Then Jesus called Philip to be his follower also. Philip found Nathanael and told him about Jesus, and convinced him to also meet and follow Jesus. At first, Nathanael is skeptical, but when Jesus tells him that he saw him earlier, when Nathanael knew no one else was there to see him, he believed and declared Jesus to be the King of Israel. John's Gospel is designed to help us know the true identity of Jesus. This is because we need to understand who Jesus is if we are to be saved and go to heaven. If we make a mistake about Jesus' identity, then we are in danger of believing in another Jesus who cannot save us. This is what many of the cults have done by making Jesus to be just a good man or a prophet or a created being. Such beliefs are very dangerous because they will deceive many into thinking they have salvation when they are doomed to destruction. Jesus said someday some people would claim that they had done great works in his name, but he would reply to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Word made flesh, and that Word was God? This is essential to your salvation. And so be sure you place your faith in the true Jesus of the Bible, God's divine Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1.
What a mystery!
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about the revelation of Jesus as God's Son, God manifested in the flesh. We saw how he was portrayed as the Word, the Light, the giver of grace and truth, and the manifestation of God's glory. We also saw how John the Baptist did not draw attention to himself, but pointed others to follow Jesus. Someone might ask the question, do the scriptures teach clearly that Jesus is God? The quick answer to this question is yes, the scriptures do teach clearly that Jesus is God. But then why are we left to wonder why so many people belonging to cults cannot see this plain teaching? We need to examine carefully with unbiased eyes what Scripture is trying to reveal to us. I believe many cannot see this truth because the devil wants to convince them to believe in a false Jesus, or they have a strong allegiance with their religious group and cannot afford to question the doctrines of that group. The Bible is not so difficult to understand that we should find the doctrine of the deity of Christ hard to see or believe. However, if some have another agenda or are blinded by Satan, then they may not want or cannot see this very clear teaching from the Bible. John makes perhaps the clearest statement about Jesus' deity, but he is certainly not the only one. All writers of the New Testament confirm this truth, and they do this in several ways. You will not find others trying to prove the deity of Christ, but they speak boldly and clearly of his divinity when they attribute to him only things that could be true of God. Let's think of some examples that show us that Jesus is truly God. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is God in the following ways. Number one, the same words are used in telling us about God and in speaking of Christ. For instance, A, he is eternal. Christ has no beginning. This is from John 17 verse 5 and John 8:58. And B, he is omnipresent. He is with his servants everywhere, Matthew 28:20. C, he is omnipotent. He has all power and authority, Matthew 28:18 and Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. He is omniscient. He knows all things, John 21 verse 17. E, he is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Number 2, Christ does the same work that God does. A, he created all things. John chapter 1, verse 3. B, he upholds the universe. Colossians 1, 17. C, he raised himself from the dead. John chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 22. And 3, the same title is given to God and to Christ. He is called God. A, God the Father speaks of the Son as God, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. B, men called Christ God, and he did not refuse their worship, John chapter 20, verse 28. C, demons recognized him as God, Mark chapter 1, verse 24. D, Christ declared that he was God, John chapter 10, verse 30. If we compare statements made by God or about God in the Old Testament, and then compare these with statements about Jesus in the New Testament, then we would find plenty more evidence to show that Jesus can be none other than the eternal Almighty God. For example, God is called the only Savior in Isaiah 43 verse 11, and Jesus is also called Savior throughout the New Testament. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, he is called God and Savior. When God addresses Moses from the burning bush, he identifies himself as I am who I am, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And Jesus also said to his opponents that before Abraham was, I am, John chapter 8, verse 58. It is essential for all to believe that Jesus is God's Son, meaning they understand Jesus to be God. Without this understanding, we would not believe in the revelation of Scripture concerning Jesus. The whole Bible seeks to reveal to us the truth of who Jesus is. We need to understand that not only is he truly God, but that he is also truly man and came into this world to be the Lamb of God and die for our sins. This is not simply something that theologians debate, but the basic teaching of Christianity that determines whether we are truly God's children and going to heaven. Do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus saw me with a stranger,
if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone, and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
The Bible says, "My King, He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords." That's my King. My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. I wonder if you know Him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. I wish I could describe Him to you. He's indescribable. You can't the grave couldn't hold.